Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to What Jail Is Like!
What up? What up? What up? What up? What up?
Sorry.
That's Matt's newest track from his album, Born Three Times.
Seriously, it's got 300 songs on it.
They're all recorded after he stopped recording.
Yep. I ain't funky enough to step into the ring with that, so that's kind of why I let them just go, you know?
Yeah. That was funktified.
They're anywhere from 8 to 12 seconds apiece, and so you're getting a diversity of songs. You're getting your money's worth. 300 songs, I don't think any album can boast that quantity of material. Original material, I might add. Why don't you get that?
All right.
Forget it, we'll keep talking. I'll talk to my friend Mark here.
All right, what's up?
Not much, Doug. It's going to be back. The original triumvirate.
Yes.
Back in action.
The three of us, What Jail Is Like, in full force. For the first time in a long time. Matt was gone for a while, and we had him back last week. But Eric was stuck in a hole.
We had a rotating roster.
Yep.
But it was actually a hoax that me and Eric were the same person, unless I'm throwing my voice right now.
What?
Unless I'm throwing my voice right now.
You're not throwing your voice right now.
Am I throwing my voice right now?
Know.
Hey, we're talking.
Oh,
hey, that's talent. The mystery lives on. But it's back to have us. It's good to back.
What did you like say? That? Back to have us. Good
it's
to
back to have us. Good to back. No, it's good to have us back, if I do say so myself.
What Jail Is Like is 2 hours of improvisational comedy, radio, theater, and truth disguised as hatred, disguised as truth, disguised as hatred. And that keeps regressing off into infinity.
End?
Yeah.
Right.
Where does it stop? Where does it end? Burn.
Baby. So it's good to have you back. I mean, even though this whole, you know, our whole shtick is hating you all, you know, deep down in the darkest corners of my heart, I'm silently pleased that we're back and that we get to entertain you for another 2 hours, you know.
Mark and I were just talking about this in the car, like, over the weekend at some point, maybe Friday night, about how it really isn't the same without you here, Matt, because Mark and I hate everybody, but we do it in a much more subtle and, like, you know, picky sort of way. But you just flat out, you just said, I really hate you. Oh, why? Because I was listening to an old show, and that you actually said the words, oh, God, why do you people suck so bad? Just out of the blue.
Well, you know. And,
you know, I think we miss that spark when you're not here.
I gotta tell you, all my anger is fueled by the fact that I can cower behind my microphone and remain a nameless, faceless celebrity to y'all.
Nice. I can tell you where he lives and what his phone number is.
Damn it. I haven't thought that far. I have to keep paying you guys off now.
So what's going on? How's last week been for everyone?
Last week, you know, what up? How's it going? Somebody had a birthday.
Somebody had a birthday. That would be last. So yeah, somebody. Well, I'm sure there were several birthdays. Mm-hmm. Several thousand million birthdays.
Yeah.
But somebody was more important than all those people.
Probably about 300,000 Chinese people had a birthday.
Yeah,
probably.
If you're playing the odds.
I'm not even going to lie. It's probably true.
Yeah, I'm old as dirt now. I'm officially.
Eric Grant's had a birthday, which we celebrated on the air.
Yeah, I was busy passing out.
It's
and
a lot
then
of work.
I was busy passing out on Monday.
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
It takes up a lot of time.
Drink that much fermented stuff.
But we enjoyed a lovely celebration at a local drinking establishment. Where
watering hole.
Watering hole.
Call it.
Where Eric got to serenade the teeming masses of adoring fans.
It was nice.
With both covers and original songs.
They were, women thronged.
Really bottlenecked.
I've never seen a thronging.
It's a very passionate, sweaty thing to have happen to you. And you handled it well.
Thanks.
You handled it well.
Thanks. Well, you know, it's the Navy SEAL training.
Mm-hmm. And after you bedded them all shortly after the show.
On a futon full of rose petals.
And it's no wonder why you're tired.
I am pooped.
So
I'll tell you. That took until Wednesday morning.
And that kind of performance going on 18 bottles of Jack Daniels.
Woohoo!
Is
I was
probably
fine.
Probably should be an Olympic event as well.
Probably really drinking that hard deserves a medal.
And performing with the, you know, the ability that you managed to. You pleased every one of the women. Nobody went away complaining, feeling unsatisfied.
No. I was working it. But, you know, that's the wisdom that age brings you.
Is it? Because I can't wait to get older then.
No. You really can't. Trust me. Because you don't care anymore. That's the whole point. You're just like, whatever. You know, it becomes much less about you or her. It's more about I've got stuff to do later, but I've got nothing to do now.
Your body parts become public domain.
Yeah.
And they can be rented at any time.
I was just over at the satellite unit. I kind of missed the setup for this. Are we talking about library books?
Yes.
Because I know you... Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. So you got those back in, then, is basically what you're saying?
He got them in, but then he took them out, and he put it in, put them in again, took them out, put them back in.
Oh.
All night long, he's putting in books, taking them out again.
Wow. I wonder, do you run up late fees like that? Did the late fees stop at, like, as soon as you put it... Return it?
No, actually,
they keep accruing.
They keep accruing.
Well, that's really rough.
Depending on how many times you want to put it in and take them out.
And so then one time he's running up the stairs to... he was just about to put his books back in the library, and he tripped and blew his whole load of books all over the front steps of the library.
Oh, that must be a pain.
It was a mess.
Like, what? Accruing late fees while you're trying to collect all the books? Because, I mean, like, some of those libraries, they're like...
No.
Like, the second floor library, you got to go all the way downstairs. The rates they're charging these days, that could be an entire penny.
You just get charged a flat fee for... blowing your whole load of books all over the library.
Oh, well, that's charitable.
And, of course, this guy, you know... Irresponsibly as he is, doesn't stick around to clean it up, you know.
No, it's the library's business, you know.
Well, I don't know if I agree.
Get public domain after you blow a load of books. Hey, I got it close, you know.
So I'm looking at this poster over here that I've seen so many times for Amy Rigby's album Middle Essence, and I'm thinking, that's me, the time of life between arrested development and hard-won maturity.
At what age does hard-won maturity dawn upon you?
That's what I got for my birthday, actually,
really?
From my dad.
Sweet.
He had it in a box.
Those things are like 25.
Bastard, you could have kept that. He said he's had it since I graduated from high school.
How hard is it to win maturity?
It's not easy. You've got to... It's really weird. You have to do all these crazy button combinations.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a lot of puzzle solving involved.
Well, you've been training intellectually for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can remember when I won my arrested development. Also very difficult, not as challenging.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, you know, the secular equivalent to your confirmation, you know. You just got to go through some motions and some boring classes and tutelage.
Sure.
But I cherished that, and that was a big day, you know.
I find all this really interesting. I mean, I'm really busting my ass to get out of my diapers, and it's not working out yet.
Well, the problem is that you keep busting your ass
long
times.
Right.
And you gotta learn to curb that. And once you can control when you bust ass, that's when you get to graduate to, you know, big people diapers.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I also remember when my development was arrested, busted on that SNL loan scam.
Yeah.
And I'm still waiting for it to get out.
That's a pain.
It's on the inside for a long time.
Well, you know, you've been doing conjugal visits.
Yeah.
And trying to slip files and fruitcakes. Every time they catch you.
Yeah, well.
So catching up on our respective statuses, I'm still unemployed. I was kind of up and down with the unemployment thing. I was like around Wednesday, I think it was Wednesday, I was feeling great about being unemployed. It was snowing. Nobody wanted to go anywhere. I woke up around 1, decided to, you know, off the job hunt for another month and just kind of go back to sleep and not deal with the snow. Friday, I was kind of feeling down about being unemployed. I don't know if that I was feeling down because I don't really have my, you know, self-worth tied into the economic establishment of this country. But I, you know, was still kind of feeling a little bit broke-ass, a little bit of a bum, you know. I wasn't out there panhandling. And I felt bad about, you know, falling into this nether region, this third category. But now I'm feeling kind of good about being unemployed.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful.
Right.
Mark's theories on works. So insightful. So I guess I'll sit on the couch and be a bum. I'm in the same club, man. I got to tell you, I've been unemployed for a while now.
What happened to your job at the coffee
shop? It's gone.
It disappeared. They booted you?
It disappeared. Well, see, I had to get back from break at around January 5th to start production for this semester. If you didn't get back, then you didn't get your job back.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I ain't coming back on January 5th. This is my last break as a student. I'm sorry if I'm going to march back. But that's actually a bigger mistake that I made, because now I'm unemployed and I have to pay for copies. Two things that I don't appreciate having to do.
That's not good.
Yeah, that's kind of... Having a hookup at a copy shop is one of the better hookups to have.
It dawned on me that was the case soon after I started working there. So, you know, I don't know, maybe go whore myself out for some...
But you are a student still.
Yes.
I'm not a student. I just finished being a student. And I think welfare is kind of unfair, actually. The whole deal behind welfare being that, you know, the amount of welfare you receive is a certain percentage of what you were paid at your last job. And I'm doing my part. You know, I've had 6 children. I am George W. Bush's worst nightmare out here. You know, I'm blowing my welfare checks on coke. Or I would be. I'd be willing to do my part, but I'm not receiving any welfare because I wasn't making any money because my previous job was student.
Yeah.
That's kind of bugging me. I'm receiving, like, a percentage of ramen and a percentage of macaroni and cheese. You know? And I can't blow that on coke and, you know, six children.
I'm signing up for tomorrow.
Right.
What a great deal.
Like, you don't get the same drink specials as students. You pay a slightly higher price.
But right.
Still reduced from the normal rate.
I don't know. It's not a good deal. I don't like it. I don't think it favors, you know, liberal arts students who don't want to get a job. I think it's kind of uncharitable to us.
Let me tell you, Mark, I'm living proof that you can be a liberal arts student who doesn't want a job and still survive well into your 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as long as we can survive well into our 20s, then sign me up.
Who needs to get any further than that? Because it's all downhill from there, kids.
It's really the fruit of life, just like in a relationship. The best part's right at the center, you know?
Yeah.
Right, like right in the beginning to the beginning of the middle. After that, you don't want
to. I don't want to see her naked anymore.
Forget it. Not excited.
Who cares?
Why did
just kidding.
Why did we segue back into the library discussion? I don't get that. I thought we dealt with it. I mean, I'm all about
there's,
the flow.
There's several things that are... There's only a few things in life that are certain. It's death, taxes, and the library.
Yeah.
Putting your books in and taking your books out of the library.
So, and then...
Repeatedly.
Over and over again.
I hate when you have to take it all back in for rebinding.
Oh, that's the
things
worst.
Things just get damaged.
That's the worst.
I don't understand the Dewey Decimal System. I can never find a thing in the library.
That, or you try to go to the, you know, the handicapped entrance in the back. So you try to go through the back door, and the librarians get all mad at you. You know.
I'm just thinking I'm looking for a certain book, you know. And I'm looking in the 800s instead of the 600s, and they just get irritated. They try, and then they try to show you where to go, but you want to, you know, you're a guy. You're not going to ask for directions.
You want to find it yourself, and you figure you'll get there eventually.
Right, but then you just get bored, and then you kind of start browsing around the magazine racks.
Well, then you realize that Letterman's on, so you go into the other room, try to find a TV. I'm
always just stuck in front of the racks racks of magazines.
I hate getting stuck in the racks. So sometimes I like to, you know, just search through the racks and.
Yeah. As a woodpecker, I like to find the desks and whack my head into them repeatedly when I'm lost. It's kind of fun.
I like whacking my head into the desks, too. I am not a woodpecker, but...
we should try it sometime.
Awesome.
Being a woodpecker.
Hammering away on those desks.
Yes!
All right, so...
On the international front, something I read. Yes, I'm taking us to the international front now.
On the international tip,
here we go.
You don't stop.
Government of Ecuador... was overthrown this week. They have, you know, a supposedly democratically elected regime. President Mahad, I believe is his name, did not have popular support. He kind of botched the whole, the economy. And a three-person junta stepped in.
Oh, yes! Yeah. I support all junta actions.
And now it's looking like the junta's not in such good shape. One-third of the junta bailed out, you know? I mean, it's a three-person junta is the best junta because if you're bored of being a junta, you're a triumvirate. You know, you got it all. You know, all kinds.
Can we
of
be a junta? I want to be a three-person junta.
Well, I remember last time we tried that. Me and Mark were waiting on the corner for the ever for you to show
up.
Well,
I had stuff to do.
And you dished out on our junta.
Yeah, you were supposed to get the support of the military. Totally crucial if you're a budding junta. So now it's looking like the juntas.
Junta's bud usually during early adolescence.
Early
right?
adolescence.
Your juntas begin to
right
bud.
Around middle adolescence.
Yeah. So it's looking like the junta not in such good shape. The vice president is going to take over in Ecuador. So that's, a very skimpy update on you for wannabe juntas, for, Ecuadorians who are just for some reason listening to our show.
Ecuadorians
who are not aware of the
national. What happened?
Ecuadorians who are getting...
why is everything all smoking and fire full?
Channeling bootleg copies of our show through an underground railroad.
You know, we are a damn fine source of information.
Mm-hmm.
What Yale's like? A damn fine source
of
information.
Well, we know that Ecuadorians turn to us for the hottest, most recent information on their government.
Well, that was our tagline in the 70s.
Right.
Ecuadorians and love us.
In theory, Ecuadorians could turn to us for their information because WEFT is now being broadcast on the internet. Is now happening. As we speak, presumably. Oh, wasn't it, though?
That was great.
Oh, yeah, you can't hardly even see the tape. I guess this really super clear masking tape, and I, like, smoothed it with my fingernail. It was awesome. Scotch tape, rather. WEFT is now broadcasting on the internet through web radio. To find out how to listen to us online, go to the WEFT website at www.prairienet.org/weft. Listen in and let us know what you think.
I gotta say, I'm really excited about this. You know,
I am too.
Back, you know, in 63, when, you know, our show was kind of getting off the ground. We've been around a little while, but we still hadn't reached the popularity that, you know, we're enjoying right now. We didn't have this kind of luxury. We didn't have this kind of... People didn't have this kind of opportunity to hear us so readily in the comfort of their own home.
I remember back then we were streamed live to Rantoul via two tin cans and a line of fishing wire.
There was the beginning.
There was that experiment in the mid-70s where WEFT was broadcast live via CB radio, and which is, like, really didn't translate it. It kind of went something like, sure, I've got a clip prepared.
Well, I mean, from, like, 65 to, you know, right to the end of 66... season when Ramps and you were in rehab, just trying to get off your H habit. Those were tough years because heroin was kind of a new drug back then. You know, it wasn't exactly popular yet, so we didn't really know how to handle it. We had subs. Remember, we had a couple subs come in. It just weren't working out. It wasn't the same. And so there were bleak times, but I'm glad that not only have we survived, but we survived to the point where people have all these opportunities to hear us.
But the web is out there, and I don't know, it's not the best of ideas to make all your announcements about the fact that you're available on the web on the air, because, you know, kind of the whole point is, if, you know, this is a new way for them to hear you if they can't hear you as it is. But, you know, tell juntas across the world when it comes time for the Radio Herald. I want to get some suggestions from juntas. Yeah. I would love if a fascist dictatorship would call us up during the advice segment next time we do it.
And ask us how to oppress their peoples.
Well, because we know. Yeah, exactly. We know a thing or two.
Well, I remember before we started doing the radio show, we had, you know, it wasn't the most professionally run thing, but we did some juntas in the Middle East. We did a couple junta, you know, junta-like things in South America. We even did a junta briefly in the Soviet Union.
I would say we were more junta-esque than actually juntas.
We were supporting Hunshin philosophies.
We were taking the principles of the junta and extrapolating with creative twists.
Yes.
Like when we added the mayonnaise to the junta. That was really a good call on Mark's part. Because if there's anything a junta can use, it's the rich, creamy goodness.
It gets a little dry sometimes.
The junta complained, of course.
Oh, yeah.
But
they were, well,
I think they looked good with mayonnaise on top of them.
I did, too.
Yeah.
Junta!
What a great word.
Also, I'd like a drunk, angry German to call us up and give us questions during the advice segment. Because I think that would be really good.
I'd really like Miriam to bring us some milkshakes. Is Miriam alive? Did she call last week when I wasn't here?
No.
Wish me happy birthday. Miriam, I'm now officially worried about you. Oh, no. Oh, this is like 67.
Matt's on a
Matt
coffee
lost a lung.
What's up?
You gotta stop eating.
Tostito got my throat.
You gotta stop eating lard, dude.
It's not the lard, but it's the sawdust chaser I had after.
So, yeah, Miriam, call us up and bring me a milkshake for my birthday. And bring Mark and Matt milkshakes as well. Come on.
Serious, Miriam. Time is passing here. Birthdays are passing. Special occasions, special events. And you're not doing anything to observe them.
Anybody bring me a milkshake for my birthday. Somebody bring me a milkshake for my birthday. Jerks. Am I breaking any FCC regulations by
calling people jerks?
Yes.
No, I don't think so. Given that they are all jerks.
Yeah, you're all jerks.
I mean, jerk, it's a statement of fact, really. I don't know if there's any disputing
don't it. Like ya. But bring me a milkshake anyway.
Other things going on in the world or your lives.
I love the way this is now going. It's not like you and me just... And Mark, like, all right, YouTube, more.
Okay. Internationally.
Let's talk about from this segment where we talk about our asses and...
to another segment where we will covertly talk about our asses.
Going in my head, okay, if I bring up an international issue, it should take them at least 45 seconds to bring the subject around to their asses. So
okay, cut to what's going on in our heads. Please say something that rhymes with ass. Say something that rhymes with ass.
Say anything I can
say balls.
Twist it.
Say balls. Was that balls? Shoot, he said smalls. Kind of rhymes with balls.
Oh, cut to what's going on in my head. He said junta. Junta. I want a milkshake. Junta milkshake.
Why is he looking at me
junta
like that?
Milkshake.
Wait, am I supposed to talk now?
Junta milkshake.
I don't even know what a junta milkshake is. I gotta make junta jokes. I didn't sign on for this.
Whore. None. Whore none.
And you mistook that glare in my eye for wisdom. Foolish, foolish man.
Yeah. Alright, so anyway. What's going on? What's been going on around the block? Around the town? Around the city?
Well, you got a haircut.
I got a... Oh, yeah. Alright, so I said I was going to talk about this. I made a mistake that you really only ever think that you'd see in a movie. I was talking to someone. I had the clippers. None of my friends, my so-called friends, would give me a haircut, even though I gave somebody else a haircut. You know, I want some help. You know, like, you can do... By yourself, you can do a one-tier haircut, you know? You have to pick a blade and run with it, you know? So I thought I picked three. I cleaned them off. I had three, and somehow between... The cleaning and the clicking onto the clipper process, I managed to fool myself and put two on. And then, like an idiot, instead of, like, you know, starting on the side where you can kind of, you know, if I had just done my sideburn and up a little bit, I could have fixed that somehow, you know. I could have, you know, then forced someone to do a fade on me, you know, kind of do a blend, like a Kenyan blend.
Sure.
Rich and flavorful with a nutty nose.
A low acidity.
But no, I went right down the middle of my head with a two blade. Two guard. And all I could think was, wow, if I had a girlfriend, which I don't, girls, don't worry about it. If I had a girlfriend, she's going to be very angry.
Really, clippers are very dangerous. I avoided getting clippers for a long time. I do now use them to cut my own hair. But I avoided them for a long time because I was just so ingrained by the era of the mohawk, you know, that it is really hard to resist just down the, you know, middle of your head, top of the head. Nothing quite like it.
Yeah, I remember I tried to use clippers on myself. I think I was in eighth grade, and I tried to do my own initials in my back, except I did it backwards. So it was TM, so everybody thought, you know, my head was trademarked. I got a lot of teasing for that.
Cut to what's going on in Matt's head. That should have worked. That should have been much funnier. Why did Mark and Eric just look at me like, you moron?
Cut to what's going on in Mark's head. Okay, I could bring up some copyright violation here, and that'll steer it away from their asses for a while. The average
cut to what's
like,
going on in Matt's head. Wow, and I thought support was an actual rule of improv. Guess I was wrong about that one.
Cut to what's going on in Eric's head. Junta! Where's my milkshake?
Maybe if I just say balls. That's always a good catch-all for everything.
All right, anyway.
The satellite unit loves me.
I love you.
Oh, yeah.
So, anything else? Let's see, this week, fun stuff. Snow?
Snow, yes.
What up, G?
Snow happened.
Wake up Saturday morning, and I'm like, whoa!
Was it Saturday morning?
Well, Saturday there was a reoccurrence of snow.
Okay.
Well, I think that's
It was Tuesday or Wednesday was the big snow.
I think that's actually the name of Al Roker's new book, Snow, What Up, G? just the history of snow, basically. And
Joe, there's a guy, Al Roker Jr., don't know if it's any relation. He's on a major syndicated radio show called the Man Cow Show, which is trash crap radio. Mm-hmm. But Al Roker Jr., because I heard that when I was up north, Al Roker Jr., and I'm thinking, is Big Al sitting home going, I'm on the Today Show, and I'm well-respected. I mean, he's no, you know, Willard Scott, is that his name? Willard Scott. He's no Willard Scott. That man is certifiably insane.
Yes, definitely.
Every once in a while, they just let him on so he can do his little smuckers. These people are older than dirt section. Let's say happy birthday to Dolores O'Reilly, 108 years young. No, she's 108 years dead. That's what she, look at her. The woman is praying for death.
Look at this picture of Dolores holding her own bladder that's been petrified for over 80 years.
She hasn't peed. Oh, come on. That's like 28. Jeez.
Okay. Strange bits of American history. I spent an irrationally large part of Saturday afternoon reading up on the conspiracy to kill Abraham Lincoln. There was a whole conspiracy behind it. John Wilkes Booth did not actually act alone. I mean, he went in and, you know, offed Lincoln himself. But there was a plan behind it to take out the rest of the government. Kind of worked, kind of didn't. You know, eventually everything turns out fine in the end. But a very interesting thing that I found, just one of those disturbing bits of American history that's kind of been, you know, forgotten about. In 1903, this man named David E. George died in somewhere in the South. I can't remember exactly where. He died, you know, in his mid-60s. But on his deathbed, he said that he was John Wilkes Booth, that he had escaped the place, the barn where John Wilkes Booth was shot in a confrontation with federal agents. And he had lived this ripe old age, you know, under a false identity. And he was now confessing. And, you know, there was you could arrange some historical evidence to perhaps think that John Wilkes Booth did make it out alive. You know, there was some uncertainty behind it. And what instead of, you know, they couldn't really do DNA testing back then. Instead of really going about this rationally, you know, like comparing teeth records or, you know, just kind of saying, wow, that's kind of interesting. Well, he's dead in either event. Doesn't matter a whole lot. They actually mummified his remains and sent him around the country on a tour till at least 1931. And you could go and, you know, pay a few dollars and see the mummified remains of what who may have been John Wilkes Booth. There's a picture on the net that I found of the guy just holding up the mummified remains of John Wilkes Booth. They looked like they'd been bronzed, but I don't really know if they'd had. Or this guy who claimed to be John Wilkes Booth. It was pretty well disreputed. But somebody actually paid $100,000 for the rights to the corpse of who may have been John Wilkes Booth, and it, and then took it around the country, showed off.
That's a lot, you know. It's like it's a lot of money to pay. That's a big exhibit to go on when he may have been. Like you could take anybody, you know, and say that about anybody.
That's
like you could
funny.
Take a mummified version of your grandma and say he may have been John, you know. Because that's leaving the option open. He may not have been, and of course it isn't. You know, right. So it's like...
I'm doing that on my deathbed. I'm Jimmy Hoffa.
Seriously.
Like, or anything. Just anybody. Like,
well, and people were rewarded for it, you know?
I'm JFK guy who, Jr.
What would museums be like? This may be a Renoir. This may be an actual painting by Raphael, you know? No, it's not. So it seems like a hoax to me. And I don't buy it.
Yeah, it was pretty well disproven that it was him, but apparently they've lost track of the corpse. The guy who wrote the article that I read said he didn't know what happened to the corpse after 1931, but the corpse turned to profit.
I had it when I got out of the wagon. I had it, and then I put it down to open the door.
Walking from the museum, walking, had it, got into the cabin.
Here's a hint for you oldsters out there. You're 108 years old, you know, isn't looking like Willard Scott's going to do a spot on you. You've had no glory in your life. On your deathbed, claim to be the mummified remains of a guy who may or may not have been John Wilkes Booth.
That spot's still available.
Yeah.
Cut to a cab driver, 1936. So where do you want to go? Oh, all right, Mr. Not Talking. The guy out on the street going, I had him when I got in the cab. He's on the phone. You guys found a guy? No.
Then
I left a guy in your car. What?
And then a wacky chase movie ensues.
Cabby's still sitting somewhere parked at like midnight. So where do you want to go, wise ass?
All right, you jerk.
You joik. I'm sorry.
Oh, jeez.
That right there is a wacky comedy plot.
It is.
Dead guy in the back. That's Weekend at Bernie's 3.
I was just going to say that, you jerk.
I love Weekend at Bernie's. I got Singing in the Rain in the faculty for my birthday.
Yes, you did.
I got the full spectrum of cinematic glory.
Or at least you got the two ends.
The two ends. Hey, shut up. You like the faculty, too.
Hey, of course, man.
Never seen a man more horrified than Mark's face when I got the faculty thinking... He's going to be watching that all the time.
What jail is like is going to consist of nothing but references to the faculty.
This is going to be terrible.
I'll make nothing but Singing in the Rain references.
Okay, cool.
Somehow fuse the two?
Yes.
We've got genius.
No.
All right, let's move off to a song, because it's been a certain amount of time. But what do we want to do next?
I think we should dispense some advice. Did you guys do that last week? I don't know. No,
we were kind of, but we aborted.
Let's do some advice.
All right, let's do that. Give us a phone call, 359-9338. Tell us your problem. Tell us what's on your mind. Tell us somebody else's problem. And give us all the information we need to deal with it in a private, confidential, caring manner in front of the entirety of East Central Illinois. 359-9338.